as the U.S. Israeli genocide in Gaza continues for the 155th day. The death toll nears 31,000, mostly women and children. The military wing of Hamas says its main priority in a potential prisoner swap deal with Israel is a complete end to the aggression on the Gaza Strip. And Yemen's army announces conducting two naval operations against American ships and destroyers in the Red Sea and the Gulf of Aden. This is News. Thanks for joining us. More than 5 months into the Israeli genocidal war on the Gaza Strip, the regime's bombing campaign keeps taking innocent lives in the besieged Palestinian territory. According to the Gaza Health Ministry, at least 82 more Palestinians have been killed and 122 wounded in the Israeli attacks since Friday. A number of the victims remain under the rubble of the bombed-out buildings or are left unattended in the streets as Israeli forces prevent emergency relief workers from reaching them. The death toll from the onslaught on Gaza that began on October the 7th is now approaching 31,000. Over 72,500 have also been wounded, while thousands more remain unaccounted for. 72% of the victims are women and children. A correspondent from the central Gaza city of Deir al-Balah, Moti Abu Musaba, joined us earlier with the latest on humanitarian crisis amid Israel's incessant bombing campaign in the besieged Palestinian territory.
Actually, it was a horrific night for the Palestinian people across all areas of Gaza Strip, as this genocide is still persistent in different areas of Gaza Strip. Let's begin from Rafah. At least four Israeli airstrikes hit the residential tower there, Al-Masri residential tower. It was completely destroyed by those vehement airstrikes. Dozens of the Palestinian injuries were reported and transported to the Abu Yusuf al-Najjar hospital in the city. While in Khan Yunis city, the Israeli airstrikes continued against different parts of the city, particularly the western parts. Several Palestinian residential buildings were destroyed and leveled to the ground over those relentless Israeli airstrikes, while the Israeli artillery maintained shelling both the western and the eastern parts of the city. In the meantime, the Israeli starvation war is still persistent against the Palestinian children. It was reported that three Palestinian children were reportedly died of hunger as they were suffering from the malnutrition and the dehydration. And the Israeli insistence on preventing those Palestinian children from having any real access to their basic humanitarian needs, particularly food, milk, and drinkable water, leaving them in severe conditions regarding the dehydration and the malnutrition, taking into consideration the collapse of the Gaza's health sector taking place amid this cruel Israeli assault on Gaza Strip. The real problem that the Palestinian civilians are facing here, which is about allowing thousands of the trucks and convoys crammed on the Egyptian side to enter into Gaza Strip. The U.S. administration and some regimes and countries are trying to overcome the main obstacle, and they are trying just to bypass the main obstacle, and they come up with insufficient, let me say, solutions in order to convince the public opinion that they are doing something.
The military wing of the Palestinian resistance movement Hamas says the people of Palestine are facing unprecedented U.S.-Israeli hostility as the Gaza Strip is still under bombardment and siege. The spokesman for the Al-Qassam Brigades described Israel as an occupying regime devoid of humanitarian values, adding that Nazi-like massacres are being perpetrated in Gaza. Abu Obeida noted that international law is unable to stop Israel from committing crimes against Palestinians. He said the rules of the international community are worn out and ineffective, adding that those rules are at the service of hegemonic powers. He also touched upon the ceasefire talks, saying that the main priority in a potential prisoner swap deal with Israel is a complete end to the aggression on the Gaza Strip. Abu Obeida also referred to the anti-Israeli operation launched by Palestinians in early October. He emphasized that the Al-Aqsa flood operation was a response to decades of enmity and atrocities against Palestinians. The UN Agency for Palestinian Refugees, UNRWA, says the Israeli regime tortured some of its staffers to falsely confess links to the Palestinian Hamas resistance movement. UNRWA's revelations came after some employees released from Israeli detention reported having been pressured deliberately to tell lies. They were subjected to various types of tortures, including waterboarding, to admit that they had participated in the Al-Aqsa flood operation of Hamas. Meanwhile, UNRWA said that it would hand over the 11-page testimonies by its staff to relevant agencies specialized in documenting human rights abuses. The regime had leveled allegations that some UNRWA personnel were involved in the October 7 operation, prompting Israel's Western backers to cut off funding to the agency. UNRWA has been a lifeline for millions of Palestinians since 1949, just months after the creation of Israel in occupied Palestine. The Islamic Resistance in Iraq says it has carried out more attacks on Israel in solidarity with the Palestinian people in the Gaza Strip. The resistance group says it has targeted the regime's intelligence base in the occupied Golan Heights. Another attack targeted Israel's oil facilities in the port city of Haifa. The group says it used drones to hit the Israeli sites. There were no immediate reports of casualties or damage from the strikes. In recent months, the Islamic Resistance in Iraq has carried out a series of attacks against Israel's positions in the occupied territories. It has also attacked U.S. military bases in Iraq and neighboring Syria, retaliation for Washington's support for the Israeli genocide in Gaza. The Yemeni Army spokesman has acknowledged two fresh strikes on American naval targets, retaliation for U.S.-British acts of aggression against this country.
The naval forces and the air force of the Yemeni armed forces carried out two specific military operations. The first operation targeted the American ship Propel Fortune in the Gulf of Aden with a number of suitable naval missiles, while the second operation targeted a number of American destroyers at the Red Sea and the Gulf of Aden with 37 drones, and the two operations successfully achieved their goals.
Sarris reiterated that the Yemeni armed forces will press ahead with their operations in the Red Sea and the Arabian Seas until Israel halts its genocidal war against Palestinians.
Yemenis from all walks of life gathered in the capital Sana'a and other major cities and chanted slogans in praise of the Yemeni army's naval operations. They also reaffirmed their full support for the Palestinian people and pledged to continue the protests until the Israeli genocide ceases.
The Yemeni government, all its members, its president and the people have one position, which is to support the Palestinian cause. We must thwart the American, Israeli and British project and stop starvation in Palestine. Our position is an honorable position, and our broad movement indicates that the Yemenis have great awareness and, God willing, victories for the nation will be at hand.
Protesters expressed support for the Yemeni army's naval operations against Western vessels, stating that the Palestinian cause helped the Yemeni people overcome the problems created by the Western powers in the country. They believe the conspiracy targets the whole region, not just Palestine or Yemen, and call on all Muslims to unite to thwart Western projects.
We went out today in Sana'a, as you can see, and in the rest of the governorates to announce to the world that our demonstrations and our position is a religious position that will not change with regimes or rulers. We will continue to insist on our position until our brothers in Gaza are victorious, receive food and medicine, and the U.S.-Israeli genocide against them stops. Our army will also continue its operations until the aggression against our country stops. Our operations are escalating, and upcoming strikes will stun both friends and enemies.
Our demonstration here in Sana'a and other governorates is to send a message that we as Yemenis have been able to overcome all the differences and problems that the enemies sought to create inside Yemen. The other message is that we continue to support the Palestinian cause, and what is happening in Gaza is shameful for all Arabs and Muslims. The operations of our army in the Red Sea and Bab al-Mandab are completely linked to what is happening to the people of Gaza, and the escalation of naval military operations is a legitimate move to support the Palestinian cause.
Recently, the Yemeni army intensified its naval attacks against American, British and Israeli-linked vessels and regional waterways, resulting in the sinking of a British vessel in the Gulf of Aden. It also attacked an American vessel, which the U.S. claimed led to loss of lives among the ship's crew members.
Yemenis assert that the success of Yemeni naval attacks, despite the presence of Western warships in the Red Sea and Gulf of Aden, demonstrates the capability and height of weaponry possessed by the Yemeni army. They believe this achievement should inspire other regional forces to join the fight and support the Palestinians in face of the common enemies. Abdul Latif Al-Washali, Sana'a.
Well, thousands of Muslims have rallied outside of the U.S. Embassy in the Indonesian capital, Jakarta, to condemn Israel's genocidal war against Palestinians, calling for a ceasefire in Gaza. Carrying Palestinian flags and banners, as well as chanting slogans, protesters marched down a major street outside of the embassy, despite heavy police deployment. They halted traffic along the way. The demonstration was organized by more than a dozen Islamic groups, which denounced U.S. support for Israel and demanded Washington push Tel Aviv to open more aid routes into Gaza as hunger worsens. Similar rallies were also held in the South Korean capital, Seoul, condemnation of Israeli atrocities.
This demonstration started at the Seoul Central Mosque as Muslims around the world are, you know, demonstrating in their opposition to the true genocide that's taking place now in Gaza, with the recent massacre happening in Rafah as people queued to receive humanitarian aid. This news is getting around the world and bringing people out in the street, like here today in South Korea, a country that really doesn't look too strongly at what's going on in the Middle East, and yet people are recognizing that, you know, yes, South Korea does have some involvement with countries in the Middle East, including a rather, you know, now contentious relationship with Israel, as it enjoys $4 billion in trade with Israel, as well as, you know, arms trade of tens of millions of dollars. Well, generally here, the government is trying to take sort of a middle course because, again, of its trade with Israel and its alliance relationship with the United States. Also, it relies, you know, at the same time on its energy security toward Saudi Arabia and the UAE. So the government has been slow both to condemn Israel and hesitant to condemn Israel.
The ship carrying humanitarian aid is expected to depart Cyprus for Gaza this weekend as part of a maritime corridor announced by the EU. The Spanish vessel Open Arms is scheduled to head for an undisclosed location off the coast of Gaza. It will reportedly tow a barge loaded with 200 tons of food. The EU Commission President talks about the opening of the sea corridor during her visit to a Cypriot port on Friday. President Joe Biden also on Thursday announced the U.S. plan to build a floating dock off the Gaza shore. However, it is unclear if there is a link between the weekend shipment and the U.S. plan. The expected delivery comes amid warnings that aid trucks must be allowed to enter Gaza in order to genuinely alleviate the humanitarian crisis there. The UN has stressed that land transport is the main artery of delivering supplies. The Secretary General of the Palestinian National Initiative says the plan to build a port off Gaza is aimed at diverting attention from the real issues that Gazans are grappling with. The Gaza-bound ship belongs to the Spanish aid group Open Arms, whose founder has talked about the aid shipment to the besieged strip through a sea route from Cyprus. Let's listen to the founder, Oscar Camps.
The Saudis' platform to Gaza, where the last mile will be the most complicated operation. The disembarkation will be done on a pier that is being built right now by the World Central Kitchen. This mission is a coalition between the World Central Kitchen and Open Arms. We provide the technical part and they provide the food and reception. We are not concerned at all about security. We are concerned about the security and lives of the people who are in Gaza, who have neither food nor medicine to treat chronic pathologies or the wounded.
In France and around the world, women and men took to the streets to celebrate International Women's Day. Gender equality is defined differently in different countries, but most agree that all societies must improve their empowerment of women. Ramin Mazari reports from Paris.
On the International Day for Women's Rights, demonstrations and pro-feminism strikes were held around France by women and the men who support their fight for equality. In October 1789, the Women's March on Versailles apprehended King Louis XVI at his luxurious palace and brought him to justice in Paris. But much work remains to be done in Republican France. Only 37% of French Parliament is female. Two-thirds of France's working poor are women, in large part because women compose 80% of France's part-time workers.
A return to far-right economic austerity after the COVID lockdowns hurt women more than any other minority. Women are more likely to work in the government and to use social services, so cuts to government budgets hurt them more than men.
Une femme qui est tuée tous les trois jours en France.
In France, one woman is killed every 3 days by their partner or ex-partner. Our government must take more measures to protect the safety of our women. We also need policies which abolish the male-female pay gap and which better protect women from rape.
Israel's attempted genocide of Gaza has had a disastrous effect on women. From the starvation of 60,000 pregnant women to the forced displacement of 1 million females, to the inhuman and degrading treatment of women by Israeli forces, according to the United Nations, to the murder of nearly 10,000 women.
Israel's genocide in Gaza is an issue for all feminists and for all humanists. Anyone who thinks that we are at the wrong march are obviously just Zionist imperialists, and they also obviously do not understand what it means to support women with equality, respect, and justice.
Globally, 60% of poor people are women. They are paid 23% less than a man, even when doing the same work, and they spend 2.5 more hours doing domestic chores than men.
Il faut appuyer tous les progrès.
We have made some progress pushing women's rights to the forefront, but we must demand many other advancements. We must also not forget about the rights of girls, many of whom suffer from sexual violence, and who must be better protected and better represented by our government.
In France and much of the West, women suffer from widespread objectification and the commodification of their bodies. France allows the use of naked women in public advertising, which many say undermines its regular claim to be a feminist model which other nations must emulate. Ramin Mazahiri, Paris.
And that is it for World News. Bye-bye for now.
Follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/ParsTodayEN. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/ParsTodayEnglish.
The Limelight. The World Health Organization, WHO, has raised the alarm over the inhumane humanitarian situation in the Gaza Strip, which continues to deteriorate as the Israeli regime bombs keep falling on the besieged territory. We take a look at some of the world press and media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. The Middle East Eye has covered this story and tells us more. The United Nations reports gross human rights violations, including possible war crimes during the Israeli regime's ongoing genocidal war in Gaza. The United Nations Human Rights Office provided the information on Friday, 23rd of February, in its annual report. The Israeli regime has been waging the military onslaught since 7th of October last year in response to Operation Al-Aqsa Storm, a surprise offensive staged by Gaza's resistance groups against the occupied Palestinian territories. The Israeli regime has simultaneously been employing an all-out siege against Gaza, preventing the flow of water, food, electricity and medical supplies into the territory. So far, the war has massacred tens of thousands of innocent people, many of them women and children. The United Nations report said the Israeli onslaught has led to massive suffering of Palestinians, including through the massacring of civilians on a broad scale, extensive, repeated displacement of people, destruction of homes and the denial of sufficient food and other essentials for life. The United Nations report added, the blockade and siege imposed on Gaza amount to collective punishment and may also amount to the use of starvation as a method of war, which are all war crimes. The report identified three emblematic Israeli strikes, two on the Jabalia refugee camp and one on Gaza City, which led to massive casualties and material damage. The United Nations High Commissioner for Human Rights, Volker Turk, said, launching an indiscriminate attack resulting in death or injury to civilians, or an attack in the knowledge that it will cause extensive, incidental civilian loss, injury or damage, are all war crimes. In a broader context, the UN official reflected on the Israeli regime's decades-long occupation of the Palestinian territories. Volker Turk said, the entrenched impunity reported by our office for decades cannot be permitted to continue. There must be accountability for violations seen over 56 years of Israeli occupation and the 16 years of blockade of the Gaza Strip. The Israeli regime came into existence in 1948 after occupying huge swathes of Palestinian territories during a Western-backed war. It occupied more land and in particular the west bank of the River Jordan, including the city of Al-Quds and the Gaza Strip, in another such war in 1967. Ever since, it has built hundreds of settlements upon the overrun territories and deployed the most aggressive restrictions on the movement of Palestinian population there. Tel Aviv withdrew from Gaza in 2005, but has been keeping the territory under an all-out land, aerial and naval siege since 2006. Turkey's Anadolu news agency has also covered the same story and tells us more. The Brazilian president has repeated his recent assertion that the Israeli regime is committing genocide in the Gaza Strip, braving the repercussions that have come to affect his country's ties with the Israeli regime and its main ally, the United States. President Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva said at an event in Rio de Janeiro on Friday, 23rd of February, what Israel is doing is not a war, it is genocide, because it is massacring women and children. President Lula da Silva added, it is a genocide, thousands of children are dead and thousands are missing, soldiers are not dying, women and children are dying at the hospital. If that's not genocide, I don't know what genocide is. President Lula da Silva, who once again spoke in favor of the creation of a free and sovereign Palestinian state, said, I do not exchange my dignity for falsehood. No earlier than on Sunday, 18th of February, President Lula da Silva had unequivocally lambasted the Israeli regime's savagery in its military aggression against the coastal territory, which has so far claimed tens of thousands of Palestinian lives, many of them women and children. Addressing an African Union summit in the Ethiopian capital, Addis Ababa, President Lula da Silva said, What's happening in Gaza isn't a war, it's genocide. It's not a war of soldiers against soldiers, it's a war between a highly prepared army and women and children. The Brazilian Foreign Ministry confirmed afterwards that the country's ambassador to the occupied Palestinian territories had been recalled for consultations, adding that it had also summoned the Israeli envoy to Brasilia. This is not the first time that the Brazilian president has singled out the Israeli regime for criticism since the onset of its military onslaught on Gaza. Speaking after a meeting with his Egyptian counterpart Abdel Fattah al-Sisi in Cairo recently, President Lula da Silva said Israel's behavior in Gaza has no explanation. The Brazilian president added, with the pretext of fighting the Palestinian resistance movement Hamas, Israel is massacring women and children. As Al Jazeera television network has also covered the same story and tells us more. The World Health Organization, the WHO, has raised the alarm over the inhumane humanitarian situation in the Gaza Strip, which continues to deteriorate as the Israeli regime bombs keep falling on the besieged territory. The World Health Organization chief Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus called for an immediate halt to Israeli war crimes in Gaza and demanded unhindered access to international aid for the population of Gaza. Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus said Gaza has become a death zone. Much of the territory has been destroyed. The head of the United Nations Health Agency also criticized the Israeli regime's military forces for bombing hospitals and medical facilities in Gaza. He said, "What type of world do we live in when hospitals must close because there is no more power or medicine to help save patients, and they're being targeted by military forces?" Ghebreyesus also expressed concern about severe malnutrition amongst the population of Gaza, which has shot up dramatically since the war started, from under 1% to more than 15% in some areas, putting more lives at risk. Also, the United Nations staff members who help evacuate critically wounded patients from Nasser Hospital in southern Gaza Strip have described appalling conditions in the territory's second largest medical facility, saying it has turned into a place of death. Jonathan Withall, a senior humanitarian affairs officer at the United Nations Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs, OCHA, in the occupied Palestinian territory, said, "The conditions are appalling. There are dead bodies in the corridors of the hospital. Patients are in a desperate situation. This has become a place of death, not a place of healing." Jonathan Whittle, who took part in evacuation missions along with teams from the World Health Organization and the Palestine Red Crescent Society on 18th and 19th of February, raised concern about conditions of dozens of patients and staff who remain trapped inside the hospital building amid intensified Israeli bombardment.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
Allah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. This is Hussein Latifi and you're listening to a program for humanity from IRIB English Radio. In this program, we talk about the concept of human being in the Holy Quran and how different verses of the Holy Quran talk about different dimensions of human soul. In the previous episode, we were talking about the relationship between intellect and the desire, base desire, hawa. The word for that in Arabic is hawa. And we said, in order to understand what is meant by reason and intellect in the verses of the Holy Quran and the Ahadith of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam, we need to see in what location, in contrast to what other opposite concepts intellect has been used. And we said one of these opposite concepts is hawa. In the last episode, we were talking about how the strategy of Islam is not to eliminate and kill the desire, basically, but it is to actually direct the desire towards the proper function for it. And even the desire of jah, the desire of loving reputation, it's good if it is directed towards the proper function of it. That is closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we said Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, waj'alli lisana sidqin fil akhirin. So the desire for reputation is a good thing. Actually, we do a lot of things. We restrict ourselves. We behave nicely because of this desire. And if this desire was not there, the sense of shame was not there, we would not behave like this and we wouldn't have civilization like the way we have it now. But as I said, the proper way to use the desire is very important. Now, talking about corruption, talking about misuse of the desire or use of the desire in the wrong situation or for the wrong purpose, we said that corruption, fasad in Arabic, means when a thing, when a faculty, when a force is used in the opposite direction of what is supposed to be used for. For example, we said there is the sexual force that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed within human being in order to create family. For other species, sexual force is for reproduction and it is functioning well in those species. But for human being, because reproduction requires the family, human beings are such beings that you cannot raise a child properly and to the full and complete way out of the family. It's possible that people are brought out of their family, but as you know, they have lots of problems. For the rest of their life, sometimes they have issues, they have problems, and we should help them according. There are many teachings in religion to take care of those people who have lost their families, because human beings are such sensitive beings that you cannot just breed them. I don't know, into groups, and I don't know, no, you have to have families, you have to maintain that institution, that foundation. And one force for that is the sexual thing. But people who use that force against family actually are creating a corruption. Corruption is when different elements within a system are used in contrast, in opposite to what they originally were supposed to be used for. And we have verses referring to this fact that ittiba'ul hawa, following the desire and not listening to the reason, actually ends or entails what? Corruption. We will recite the beautiful verse after a short break.
Dear listeners, you are listening to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. This is Hussein Latifi, and you're listening to a program for humanity from IRIB English Radio. In the first segment, we said one reason for fasad, corruption, is when people follow their desire and they don't listen, base desires, and they don't listen to the leadership of their intellect. Now, the verse referring to this is this one, وَلَوَ اتَّبَعَ الْحَقُّ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ. If the truth was to follow their desires. Now, you see many people, they have different desires about the creation. Why creation is not in this format? Why things are not created in this way? So there are different, diverse forms of opinions and desires. And according to the desire of everyone, like everyone wants to be like at the top. So you don't have any social structure. You don't have any, everyone wants to be the boss. Everyone wants to be. So, وَلَوْ اتَّبَعَ الْحَقُّ أَهْوَاهُمْ. If the truth was to follow their desires, لَفَسَدَتِ السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ. That the whole heaven and earth would fall into corruption. وَمَنْ فِيهَنَّ. And also the people and the living beings within them. بَلْ أَتَيْنَاهُمْ بِذِكْرِهِمْ. We have given them a reminder for them. فَهُمْ عَنْ ذِكْرِهِمْ مُعْرِضُونَ. But the fact is that they ignore the reminder that we have given them. You know, according to the teachings of Islam, being the leader of a society is not a big deal, meaning that it's not that a person who leads the society should have privileges like distinguished from others. No, yes, he should have abilities, experiences in the field, and the knowledge that is given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala according to the school of Ahlul Bayt alayhi wa salam. But when we look at the life of the Prophet and Amir al-Mu'mineen, even at the time that they were leading the society, they didn't act like they are different from others. No, they were acting like we are other servants of Allah, like other servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have the same privileges as others. You have heard the story of Amir al-Mu'mineen having some legal issues with another, I think, Nasrani or Yahudi, Ahlul Kitab, a person who was not even a Muslim, but he was a citizen of Islamic society. And then Amir al-Mu'mineen at that time was the caliphate, was actually a ruler of, I don't know, one-third, one-fourth of the living area of the earth. But he wouldn't hesitate to go to the court like an equal citizen. And even that thing impressed that person and said, you are the ruler and you act like another citizen. And then he embraced Islam. So you see, when we say we need social structure, it doesn't mean, according to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the value of people are different based on social structures. So it's very possible that a person leads the society at the same time very humble. And so these are not value judgments. These are actually the structures that we need to have, and they actually function well when they are take these privileges, these things are taken away from there, according to the example of the life of the Prophet and Amir al-Mu'mineen and other Imams alayhim wassalam. Thank you very much for listening. We will continue the discussion on intellect and hawa, inshallah, in the next episode. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
صلى الله على محمد صلى الله على النبي صلى الله على محمد وعلى آل النبي صلى الله على محمد صلى الله على النبي صلى الله على محمد وعلى آل النبي.
This is the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard by the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,650 kHz every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 25 meters, 11,880 kHz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
In the limelight.
North Korea has strongly denounced South Korea's joint military exercises with the United States while warning there would be dire consequences for Seoul for such actions. We take a look at some of the world press and media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. South Korea's Yonhap News Agency has covered this story and tells us more. South Korea and the United States have kicked off joint spring military exercises, doubling the number of participating troops compared to last year. The exercises, dubbed Freedom Shield, are being held from 4th to 14th of March. The military drills come as Seoul's defense ministry said on Monday, 4th of March, the two allies' air forces also launched their annual battalion-level Sangmak exercises for a five-day run. According to South Korea's Joint Chiefs of Staff, Freedom Shield will involve twice the number of troops from both sides compared to last year. They will conduct 48 rounds of combined field training, including air assaults and airstrikes. American strategic assets such as aircraft carrier and bombers could participate. The term strategic is often used to describe nuclear forces. The Allies claim that the exercises are aimed at countering North Korea's alleged nuclear and missile threats. However, Pyongyang says such military maneuvers amount to a rehearsal for invasion. North Korea, which has been under harsh sanctions by the United States and the United Nations Security Council for years over its nuclear and ballistic missile programs, launched an unprecedented number of missiles in 2022, including its most advanced intercontinental ballistic missile ever. North Korea's leader, Kim Jong-un, has repeatedly said his government is building up its defensive military arsenal in preparation for war by the West that could break out at any time on the peninsula. Kim Jong-un also announced recently that North Korea's goal of reuniting the Korean Peninsula was over, as he described the South as its prime enemy. The Reuters news agency has also covered the same story and tells us more. North Korea has strongly denounced South Korea for its joint military drills with the United States, whilst warning there could be dire consequences for Seoul for such actions. A spokesman for North Korea's Ministry of National Defense said in a press statement on Monday, 4th of March, that the large-scale joint South Korea-US military exercises were provocative and aimed at increasing uncertainty in the region. The National Defense Ministry said in the press statement carried by North Korea's KCNA news agency, the drills included a plan for field maneuvers which doubled as against last year, and even the armed forces of 11 satellite countries under the so-called UN command, without any justification for existence, were mobilized. The statement added, the large-scale war drills staged by the world's number one nuclear weapons state and more than 10 satellite states against the state in the Korean Peninsula, where a nuclear war may be ignited even with a spark, can never be called defensive. It called the military drills a frantic and reckless move, while condemning it as a military threat to a sovereign state, an attempt for invading it. It said the armed forces of the DPRK, North Korea, will continue to watch the adventurous acts of the enemies and conduct responsible military activities to strongly control the unstable security environment on the Korean Peninsula. It added that South Korea and the United States will be made to pay a dear price for their false choice, while suffering the consequences that security uneasiness carries with it. Global News has also covered the same story and tells us more. North Korea has carried out a test of its underwater nuclear weaponry system in a demonstration against the joint military exercises conducted recently by United States and South Korea and Japan, which seriously threatened the security of Pyongyang. The state-owned Korean Central News Agency, KCNA, recently said Pyongyang tested the Hail 523, a nuclear-capable underwater drone, in the waters of its east coast. The underwater drone test, which was developing in the East Sea of Korea, came the second day after the US, South Korea, and Japanese navies held their three-day regular drills alongside the US aircraft carrier Carl Vinson. An unnamed spokesman for the Ministry of National Defense said in a statement, "We will never tolerate the reckless military confrontation hysteria. The US, Japan, and the Republic of Korea are getting frantic in their provocative military exercises from the outset of the year." The spokesman said, "Our Army's underwater nuclear-based countering posture is being further rounded off, and its various maritime and underwater responsive actions will continue to deter the hostile military maneuvers of the navies of the United States and its allies. Pyongyang will never condone the enemy's reckless military confrontation madness." He said, "We strongly condemn the reckless actions of the United States and its followers, and solemnly warn of the catastrophic consequences that will result from this." The Hail, which translates to tsunami in Korean, the new weaponry system was first put to trial last year in March, the objective of which was to carry out discrete assault in hostile maritime territories, effectively neutralizing naval strike formations and strategic ports by unleashing a substantial radioactive surge via an underwater detonation. North Korean leader Kim Jong-un has said he no longer believed unification with South Korea was possible and called for constitutional change to identify the South as the number one hostile state towards North Korea. In a speech to the Supreme People's Assembly, North Korea's parliament, Kim Jong-un said he had concluded that unification with the South was no longer possible and that Seoul is seeking regime change and unification by absorption. The two Koreas ended their 1950-1953 war with a truce, but not a peace treaty. However, Kim Jong-un was quoted as saying by KCNA news agency, "We don't want war, but we have no intention of avoiding it." Kim Jong-un added, "In the event of war on the Korean Peninsula, I think it is also important to reflect on the issue of completely occupying, suppressing, and reclaiming South Korea and incorporating it into the territory of our republic." KCNA said that North Korea would close three agencies that oversee unification and inter-Korean tourism: the Committee for the Peaceful Reunification, the National Economic Cooperation Bureau, and the Mount Kumgang International Tourism Administration. You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. Shortwave, 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent. And FM, 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio by your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
Send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio with Sheikh Ammar.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. We have been discussing about the Hadith, which is known as the qualities of Shia. Imam Sadiq Salamu alayhi explains all the qualities of Shia in this hadith. Not all, but most of the important or necessary qualities of Shia. The first point mentioned by Imam was Shi'atuna Ahlul Wara, our Shia are pious people. We discussed about this topic. And the second and third topic is Wal-Ijtihad wa Ahlul Wafa. Ijtihad means those who are diligent, they always try hard, they are not lazy. People of Ahlul Bayt, nation of Ahlul Bayt, basically nation of Islam, nation of Quran and God. Well, the series goes to Ahlul Bayt and Islam becomes complete when one follow Ahlul Bayt and their guidance and teachings. Here Imam Sadiq in this hadith explains about the qualities of Shia, and the second and third qualities been discussed in this hadith is Ijtihad wa Ahlul Wafa. Ijtihad means those who always try hard. We have a lot of hadiths. There's a hadith mentioned in the Jihadun Nafs by Shaykh Hurri Amili, where Imam Sadiq says, Mu'min, others are always happy and feel helpful, feel peaceful because of the help of a mu'min. But mu'min himself is always is tired because you are trying to help others. This is the point. Ijtihad means those who always try hard. And then Imam said, "Wa ahlul wafa, you are loyal." Loyalty is, I can say, in a sense, if a person is disloyal, not loyal, he is the most hated person in the eyes of Quran and Allah and Ahlul Bayt and Rasul. Very clearly, loyalty is one of the topmost quality of a mu'min, of a believer. Ahlul Wafa, this is the Ahlul Bayt wants from us. So mu'min, first of all, is pious, and then he's always trying hard. He is bearing lots of troubles to help others, to feed his family, to support his neighbors, to support his friends. And he himself lives with the least. With the least what he need, that's it. But if you have wealth, if you have a charming life, if you have desires, you can live according to your status. You want to have bigger home, bigger life. But always beside that, try hard for others as well. Mu'min is always trying hard for himself, for others, for his family, for his parents, for his friends, for his community. Being in the state of Ijtihad means you are always trying hard. And then beside that, a mu'min is always Ahlul Wafa. You are the loyal person. Mu'min has to be loyal because loyalty is one of the topmost quality Allah wants from us. I can give an example. Many years ago, one of my teachers said in Hawza Ilmiya, maybe 17, 18 years ago, he said, "If I don't come tomorrow, you can assume that I am dead." So that's why he was loyal on his duty, because he said, "My job is teaching. I have to teach you students. So I have to manage. I have to come every day. I have to come every day. If I don't come, if I don't show up tomorrow for theirs, for lecture, for class, that means you can assume that I am dead." That's how I am loyal. That's how I feel myself responsible for my duties. Loyalty, if you promise, then you have to stand with your promise. Keep your promise always. Mu'min is always the man of loyalty and promise. Means these are the ornaments of Mu'min. These are the qualities of Mu'min. We have to have these qualities to prove ourselves to Ahlul Bayt that we are Shia. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Ammar in the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد.